Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be diving deep into all things smart borders.
Ooh, exciting.
I know, right? I feel like we hear that term everywhere, but yeah. What does it actually mean?
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to be looking at a report all about smart border partnerships.
Okay.
And really trying to figure out how this whole thing of using technology, data, trust, how's that all coming together to kind of revolutionize the way that goods and people move across international borders.
Yeah, it's fascinating because I think what's really interesting is that we're moving away from just thinking about physical barriers and checkpoints.
Right.
Like, this is really like a whole new way of thinking about managing borders.
So let's back up for a second.
Okay.
What are smart borders?
Well, the World Customs Organization,
okay.
WCO, they define smart borders as systems that use all this technology and data to make things secure, measurable, automated, risk managed, and technology driven.
Right.
So it's really about streamlining like the whole journey, not just the point of crossing a border.
Gotcha. So it's more like a holistic approach, looking at the whole process rather than just that snapshot at the border.
Yeah, it's like I guess you'd say like a proactive kind of system. Like if you're using, you know, a risk management based approach, that means that customs officials can use data to identify problems before a shipment even gets there.
Oh, okay.
So then, you know, they can put resources where they're needed most.
Yeah.
And speed up the process for things that are low risk.
Gotcha. So instead of reacting to problems at the border, they're sort of anticipating them.
Exactly.
I see how that would be, especially in today's world where supply chains are so complex.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So where did this whole concept come from?
So this actually has roots in a real world example.
Okay.
Back in 2017, the EU, they were trying to figure out how to manage their borders after Brexit.
Right.
And they came up with this idea called Smart Borders 2.0. And it was based on this system that was already working really well between Sweden and Norway.
So they were looking at a model that was already emphasizing efficiency and security.
Exactly. And how trust and data sharing could actually lead to a much smoother experience at the border.
Interesting.
And the WCO, like ever since then, has been really championing this smart borders concept.
Good sense.
To encourage other countries to use similar approaches.
It makes sense. But I mean, this all relies on data. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, how do you actually make a border smart if you don't have the right information?
Data is key. So we're talking about pre-arrival data.
Okay.
Supply chain visibility, any info that can help create a clearer picture of what's coming across.
So you mentioned supply chain visibility.
Yeah.
And that's something that you hear a lot about these days, especially with all the, you know, disruptions and delays. Everyone's talking about the importance of having clear visibility.
Yeah.
But how does that actually translate into making borders smarter?
It's become so crucial, especially with everything that's been happening in the world.
Right.
Because, like, think about it. In the past, goods would move across borders, and it's like they vanished into this black box.
Yeah.
But now with technology like blockchain and all these IoT sensors, you can see, like, a detailed view of a shipment's whole journey in real time.
Wow.
It's a huge change.
So it's not just about knowing where it is. It's about knowing the condition of it too, right?
Exactly.
Like temperature, humidity,
right.
Whether it's been tampered with.
Right. Like you can track all that now.
That's amazing.
And that level of transparency is great for businesses.
Yeah.
Because they can optimize their logistics, anticipate delays.
Right.
But it also helps customs officials do their jobs better, you know, to assess risk more efficiently.
Oh, okay.
Like, imagine if you could get an alert if a refrigerated container, the temperature goes outside a certain range, like maybe the goods are going bad, or maybe there's something shady going on. So it's a whole new level of insight.
That's a really good example.
Yeah.
So it sounds like smart borders aren't just about efficiency then. It's also about proactive security.
They can actually go hand in hand. Yeah.
But I bet there are some hurdles
to
overcome when it comes to sharing all this data.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, companies are understandably protective over their information.
Mm-hmm.
So what's in it for them?
Well, that's where trusted trade lanes come in.
Okay, so trusted trade lanes, what is that? It sounds like some kind of VIP lane for goods.
It's kind of like that.
Okay.
Basically, it's a system where if a business meets certain standards for, you know, compliance and security, they get rewarded with faster border crossings and fewer inspections.
Oh, okay.
So it's all about building trust, creating that like fast track for those who are showing they're committed to security.
Okay, so businesses They share their data,
right.
prove they're playing by the rules. And then in return, they get preferential treatment.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But how do we actually make sure that businesses aren't trying to game the system?
Right. Well, that's where having really strong verification
right.
and auditing comes in, you know, like a trust but verify approach.
Yeah.
And the report really highlights the need for like
yeah.
clear regulations
yeah.
and data protection measures to make sure that all that sensitive info is handled properly
right.
and that the system is being used the right way.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Do we have any examples of this trust but verify thing in action?
Totally. So take, for example, smart containers.
Okay. So not like containers that can actually think for themselves.
Not yet.
Okay.
But they have all these sensors and trackers
okay.
that give you tons of data about the goods inside.
So what kind of data are we talking about?
So like location, temperature, humidity, even like if someone's opened it up.
Oh, wow.
And it's all tracked in real time, which builds trust and transparency.
Yeah.
Like imagine if a container is opened up somewhere it shouldn't be.
Right.
That could trigger an alert for customs.
Gotcha.
So it's like you're giving your goods a trust badge.
Interesting. So it sounds like a win-win, right?
Yeah.
Businesses benefit from faster border crossings,
mm-hmm.
and border agencies get all this valuable info to improve security.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, are there any downsides to all this data sharing?
Mm-hmm.
This digitalization? I mean, are we just risking ending up with, like,
right.
a digital version of the same old mess?
Yeah. So you've hit on something really important that the report warns about, which is just digitizing inefficient processes.
Right.
They call it replacing red tape with green tape.
Right.
Like just adding tech to old systems isn't going to magically fix everything.
Right. So it's not just about adopting the technology. It's about actually rethinking the entire process.
Exactly. You got to re-engineer trade processes for the digital age.
Okay.
Potentially getting rid of old documents, streamlining procedures, you know, adopting new standards.
That sounds like a huge undertaking.
It is.
I mean, that would require a massive shift in thinking and a lot of international.
Definitely. Defense. It is a big challenge, but it's also a huge opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's where the UK comes in, because the report specifically says that the UK really needs to step up and take the lead on this.
Interesting. What makes the UK so well suited for this role?
Well, the UK has this long history of global trade.
Right.
And they're already making progress in things like digital innovation and data management.
Right.
So the report suggests that they could use these strengths to really become a global leader in smart borders.
So they have the potential to kind of be a trailblazer.
Yeah.
Show the world how to do this effectively.
Exactly. And that's where things get really interesting. We'll explore that more after the break.
We were talking about how the UK has this big opportunity to be a leader in smart borders.
Yeah.
What kind of benefits could they see if they really embrace this?
Well, the report talks about some key areas where they could see some real gains. Like imagine trade flows that are smoother, leading to lower costs for businesses.
Right.
Which ultimately means lower prices for us, the consumers.
That sounds like a win-win, you know?
Yeah.
Less friction in the system.
Yeah.
More savings all around. But wouldn't those increased security measures,
mm-hmm.
which are a big part of smart borders, potentially slow things down?
Right.
Like, how do you balance those two things?
Yeah, that's a good point. But that's where this risk-based approach is so clever.
Okay.
Because it lets you have more targeted security.
Right.
So by using all that data to find those high-risk shipments,
mm-hmm.
authorities can really focus where they're needed most.
Okay.
And then the low-risk stuff can just move through quickly.
Gotcha.
So you get better security without all those unnecessary holdups.
So working smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
I like it. So it's not just about making trade easier then. It's about making it safer, too. What about the environmental impact? You know, with all the focus on sustainability these days,
yeah.
could smart borders play a part in, you know, a greener approach to trade?
Oh, absolutely. By making logistics smoother and reducing that congestion you see at ports,
okay.
smart borders can definitely contribute to a smaller carbon footprint.
Okay.
Like, think about it, you know, better routing and scheduling could mean fewer trucks just sitting there idling at borders.
Right. Yeah.
Which means less emissions and less fuel being used.
Okay. So we've got smoother trade, more security, less environmental impact. Those are pretty good arguments for smart borders.
Definitely.
But it can't all be smooth sailing, right?
Right.
What are some of the challenges or concerns that might come up as we move toward this new model?
I think one of the biggest hurdles is going to be getting everyone on the same page, like international standardization.
Right.
You know, right now you have all these different countries with their own systems, their own regulations.
Yeah.
it creates a ton of complexity for businesses that are trying to operate across borders.
Right.
Like, imagine trying to navigate a world where every country speaks a different language.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't work.
It'd be a nightmare.
Right. So we need like a common language for all this data sharing and these border procedures.
Makes sense. But who gets to decide what that language is?
Right.
And what about the cost of all this?
Yeah.
Implementing these technologies, all these new systems, that can't be cheap.
Those are all valid points. The report does say there will be some upfront costs.
Right.
But they argue that these investments will actually pay for themselves over time.
Okay.
Because you'll have increased efficiency and fewer trade barriers.
Okay.
It's about thinking long term, you know?
Yeah.
Realizing that spending now will save you a lot more later.
So it's like an investment, not a quick fix.
Right.
What about the smaller companies, though? You know, the SMEs, how can they get involved in this whole smart borders thing?
Yeah.
Many of them probably don't have the resources to jump on all this new tech.
That's a really important consideration. And the report does say that SMEs are vital to the success of smart borders.
Okay.
And there are ways they can participate without going bankrupt.
Okay.
Well, for example, they can adopt some of the more affordable digital tools and technologies out there.
Okay.
You know, ones that can help them keep up with the new rules and standards.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there are government programs designed to help SMEs adapt to the new landscape of international trade.
So it's more of a, like, collaborative effort.
Yeah.
With governments and bigger companies helping to kind of pave the way.
Exactly.
For smaller businesses to get on board.
Yeah. It's not just about the practical stuff, though.
Okay.
There is also, like, a cultural shift that has to happen.
Oh, interesting.
You know, to make this really work, we need to move away from that traditional us versus them mentality when it comes to borders and embrace this more cooperative approach, you know, recognizing that everyone benefits from secure and efficient trade.
So like moving away from us versus them to we're all in this together.
Exactly.
And that brings us back to those pitfalls we were talking about earlier.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How do we make sure this whole push for digitalization doesn't just become a new layer of bureaucracy?
Right. You don't want to just replace red tape with green tape.
Right. Right.
Like we said, just automating old, inefficient processes doesn't solve the real problem.
Right. Yeah.
We need to like really rethink those processes for the digital age.
Okay.
And that might mean getting rid of old documents,
okay,
streamlining procedures,
mm-hmm,
adopting new standards.
Is there anything that kind of comes to mind when you think about this re-engineering process?
Yeah.
Like any specific areas that are ripe for disruption?
So one example the report talks about is the rise of what they call ESG regulations.
Okay, ESG, what's that stand for?
It stands for environmental, social, and governance. It's basically like a set of standards for how a company operates.
Okay.
And a lot of investors are starting to use them to decide where they put their money.
Right. Yeah. I've been hearing more and more about ESG.
Yeah.
So how does that fit into this whole smart borders thing?
Well, all these new ESG regulations, like the U.S. Forced Labor Act and the EU Supply Chain Due Diligence Act, they're creating a need for new data-driven solutions.
Okay.
Because companies are now being held responsible for not just what they produce, but how they produce it.
So it's about transparency, ethical sourcing, all that.
Exactly.
And how can smart borders help with that?
They can give you more visibility into the supply chain.
Okay.
So companies can actually track where their goods are coming from and how they got there and make sure they're following the rules.
Okay.
Imagine a system where like customs officials can immediately see if a shipment, let's say, of cocoa beans came from a farm that treats its workers fairly.
Right, right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. So it's like a built-in system to kind of monitor and verify.
Exactly.
Those ethical sourcing practices.
Yeah.
But I imagine there are also potential drawbacks to these regulations.
Yeah.
Could they accidentally create new barriers to trade?
The report does say that if they're not implemented properly, they could have some unintended consequences. Mm. Like it could become a barrier, especially for those smaller companies, the SMEs.
Right.
It's all about finding that balance between promoting good business and keeping that global trading system going strong.
So we've talked about benefits, but what are the risks if we get this smart borders thing wrong?
Well, one of the biggest risks is that these regulations, if they're done poorly, could really hurt smaller businesses
because
they might not have the resources to comply.
Right.
And that could stifle innovation and growth.
Right.
Especially in developing countries.
Okay.
The report actually uses the UK as an example, you know, looking at the potential impact on their trade and their SMEs, to highlight how important it is to get this right.
So it's not just about adopting new tech and regulations. It's about doing it in a way that actually helps businesses of all sizes.
Exactly.
And creates a more like inclusive global economy.
Yeah, that's where the UK could really make a difference because they're focused on innovation and fair trade.
Right.
The report suggests they could become a leader in promoting both free trade and responsible business at the same time.
Okay.
And they even talk about this UK Trusted Trader Program.
Trusted Trader Program, what is that?
So basically it's like a tiered system.
Okay.
Where businesses that are following those high standards for, you know, ESG and security, they get rewarded with faster border crossings and less paperwork.
Okay, so it's kind of like a loyalty program.
Yeah, you could think of it that way.
For businesses that are going above and beyond to be ethical and secure.
Exactly.
I like that, but wouldn't that create like a two-tiered system where businesses that aren't in the program are at a disadvantage?
That's a good point. But the idea isn't to exclude anyone.
Okay.
It's to encourage everyone to improve.
Okay.
The program would be designed to be achievable with clear guidelines and support.
Got it.
So everyone can reach those standards.
So the goal is to raise the bar for everyone then.
Exactly.
And create this trading environment where ethical and secure practices are just like the norm.
Exactly. It's like a race to the top.
I like it.
Yeah.
But what about this trusted trader program globally?
Yeah.
Could it work beyond the UK?
That's what the report is hoping for.
Yeah.
They think the UK could work with other countries to recognize each other's trusted trader programs.
Go.
So you'd have this whole global network of responsible businesses.
Interesting.
Like imagine if a trusted trader in the UK automatically got the same benefits when they're trading with, say, Canada or Japan or wherever.
That would really change things. It would streamline trade, build trust, encourage businesses all over the world to aim for those higher standards.
Exactly. And the report thinks that the UK is really well placed to lead this charge.
Okay.
Because of their history as a trading powerhouse.
Right.
And their focus on innovation.
So it's like they're creating a model for the rest of the world to follow.
Hopefully leading to a more sustainable and inclusive global trading system.
Pretty bold vision. But what actual steps would the UK have to take to make this happen?
Well, the report lays out a few key changes they'd need to make, like tailoring services to individual customers, moving those checks from the border to along the journey, and of course, expanding those trusted trader schemes.
So it's not just about the tech. It's about a whole new way of thinking about trade.
Absolutely. It's like a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
And to make it work, the report says they need to take a one government approach to border policies.
Okay.
Because right now, there are all these different agencies involved, and that can make things inconsistent.
Yeah.
They even suggest having a single border minister.
Why?
To make sure everyone is working together.
That would be a pretty big change.
Yeah.
But I can see how having that central authority could really help streamline everything.
Right.
And set a clear direction for the future of UK trade.
Exactly. The report says the UK has this chance to be a leader in smart borders,
but
they also warn that if they don't act quickly, they risk falling behind because other countries are already moving ahead with this.
Right.
So it's a call to action for them.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm also curious about the implications for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Like, how could this reshape international trade on a bigger scale?
Right.
What does this mean for everyone, not just the UK?
That's a great question, and I think it's the perfect place to pick up after the break, because we're going to explore the wider impact of all this on the global stage.
Sounds good. We'll be right back. Okay, so we're back, and now it's time to look at the bigger picture, the global implications of smart borders.
Right, yeah. It's one thing to talk about the UK taking the lead, but what does this shift actually mean for everyone else?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's where things get really interesting. You know, imagine a future where goods can move across borders.
Yeah.
Without all the delays and paperwork.
Okay.
Businesses can track their stuff in real time.
Yeah.
Customs officials have everything they need to spot risks.
Right. So basically, a world with less bureaucracy.
Exactly.
Faster shipping.
Mm-hmm.
And a more secure trading environment.
Yeah. It sounds like a dream, right?
It does. But it also sounds like it would require a ton of cooperation.
It would.
Between countries. So how realistic is that?
You're right. It wouldn't be easy, but I think the potential benefits are so big that a lot of countries are starting to see the value in working together.
Okay.
Smart borders kind of naturally encourage collaboration. Because to build that kind of interconnected system, everyone needs to agree on things like data sharing standards, security protocols, even customs procedures.
Right. So it's not just about the tech.
Yeah.
It's about building trust and getting those regulations in sync across different countries.
Uh-huh.
Do you think this could actually improve, like, international relations?
I think it has the potential, because it promotes transparency.
Mm-hmm.
It encourages working together.
Right.
And it makes trade easier. All of that could help to ease tensions between countries.
Okay.
Think about regions that have had conflicts.
Yeah.
If they could set up a system for trade that's secure and efficient,
right,
it could make them more economically connected.
Okay.
Which might actually help reduce conflict.
Wow. So smart borders could be like a catalyst for peace.
It's possible. Yeah.
That's a pretty optimistic outlook.
Yeah.
But let's be realistic. What are some of the potential downsides here? I mean, we've talked about the risk of creating a digital bureaucracy and the potential for data breaches.
Right.
Are there any other things we should be considering?
Well, I think a really important thing is making sure that everyone has access to these technologies.
Okay.
We don't want a system where only the rich countries and the big corporations benefit.
Right.
Developing countries need to be part of this too.
Yeah, that's a really important point. We don't want to make those existing inequalities worse.
Exactly.
So how can we make sure that they're not left behind in this shift to a smarter world?
It'll take effort from everyone, you know, financial assistance, technical help to help developing countries use these technologies and become part of that global network.
Makes sense.
Because if they don't have the resources, they could end up being excluded from the global economy.
Okay, so finding that balance between innovation and inclusivity, that's going to be key.
For sure.
We've talked a lot about the big picture, benefits, challenges, all that. But what does this mean for, like, the average person?
Right.
How could smart borders impact their daily lives?
Well, I think the most obvious impact will be things like faster deliveries and lower prices.
Makes sense.
Because as trade becomes more efficient and supply chains become more resilient, consumers are going to see real changes in the marketplace.
So it's not just about these abstract ideas.
Yeah.
It's about stuff that affects everyone.
Right.
It makes you wonder what other benefits might come up as this tech keeps developing.
Exactly. We're just scratching the surface here.
Yeah.
Imagine a world where travel is as easy as shipping goods.
Okay.
You know, using biometric data and pre-clearance systems.
Right.
You could just breeze through airports and borders.
Yeah, that would definitely change things.
It would.
But I think it's important to remember with all these changes that tech is just a tool.
Right.
It's up to us to decide how we use it. Yeah. What kind of future we want to build.
Absolutely. Smart borders give us this chance to really rethink how we manage the flow of goods and people.
Yeah.
And if we do it right, working together, we can build a trading system that's secure, efficient, and fair for everyone.
That's a great point to end on. Smart borders aren't just about technology. They're about reimagining how we connect with the world.
Yeah.
It's been a really fascinating deep dive into this whole world of smart borders.
It has.
Huge thank you to our expert for sharing all these insights.
My pleasure.
And to our listeners, keep exploring this topic.
Yeah.
It's not just about governments and companies. It's about all of us.
Right.
The choices we make now will shape the future of global trade and our world.
Yeah.
So keep asking those questions, keep learning, and keep diving deeper.
Definitely.
We'll see you next time.